Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Welcoming you to this Football Thursday. How you doing? Vic Carucci and Michael Rega, who is filling in for Nathan Zagora today, and will also do so tomorrow. And we'll get the Nate Dog back in the saddle on Monday. But we have got the third and final practice of the mandatory mini camps to talk about, leading off our Ohio Business Machines Hot Topics of the Day. Michael and I just fresh off the field here in Berea watching this final day, and the team cutting it a little bit shorter than the previous 2 days. Not a surprise. This is getaway day for the players. Yeah, they did their thing on the field. The coaches, too, Michael, they want out now. they've been here. They've done the offseason thing,
Vic,
right?
Yeah,
because they're going to get their 6 weeks or so of respite between now and the start of training camp. So we'll give you our thoughts on what we saw in practice, and also tell you that at 2 o'clock, Ron Jaworski from ESPN, a much-listened-to guy in terms of what he has to say about this Browns team. Really good insights on Mike Pettine. Really good insights on Johnny Manziel and the whole quarterback position. This guy, of course, is a film junkie, has been his whole career. Calls himself a film junkie. Of course, whatever the digital version of that is, a digital video junkie. You're going to hear from Nate Burleson. We've got some good sound bites from him that we want to share with you as well through the show. And then you're going to hear the head coach of the Browns actually started his news conference as we began this show. So in our second segment, we will play for you in its entirety the Mike Pettine news conference. Michael, how are you?
I'm real great, Vic. It was energized on the practice field today. Not that it hasn't been, but for a lot of the reasons you pointed out, there was kind of a sense of urgency for guys to make sure what they were putting on tape in this final day of the mandatory minicamp was solid. There was a feistiness out there. Offense, defense, they were playing
chirping
for points, so to speak. Yeah, there's always a lot of chirping going on. Yeah, and so I liked it. We'll get into more of it with regard to how a lot of things broke down today, because there was, I think, some important things that we saw by virtue of the way Kyle Shanahan offensively and Jim O'Neill defensively are thinking about putting their personnel groupings together.
No question about that, because with each day, this week in particular, they focus specifically on phases. Yesterday was much more of a read option kind of day.
You
saw a lot of movement by the quarterbacks. You saw a lot of pitch plays and fakes, and then doing exactly what that read option is all about. Ride the defense over to a side and then make the throw at the last second or hang on to it and run. You saw all the quarterbacks working on that. By far, Johnny Manziel looked the best in that drill. Duh, he's going to. Today was, heavy emphasis on tight ends, and we'll talk about how those position groupings, how those personnel groupings worked out. I'll say this. Johnny Manziel had one of his very best performances, I thought, in the 11-on-11 drills.
Yes, he did.
When he was working with the ones, he was sharp.
Yep.
He was making his reads. He was getting the ball out of his hand quickly. His mechanics looked sound. Didn't look like he was dropping the elbow. Everything seemed to stay together for him for, in my mind, the first time consistently in this whole offseason. He was hitting in 7-on-7s. I saw him go to his third progression. And then in the 11-on-11s, second progression. Sometimes the first guy, bang, there. Hit the only incompletion I saw in one set before I walked up here for the show was a drop by a receiver that was right in his hand. So I was impressed with Johnny Manziel today.
Very sharp, no question about that. You could make a strong case that this was his most impressive performance for all the reasons you just laid out, Vic. And it speaks to what we've been talking about all week, what you and Nathan have been letting our listeners in on as these OTAs and now the mandatory minicamp has unfolded, and that is the acclimation period. And for him, digesting it and seeing it and then going out and making it happen after he gets a chance to get a feel for what it's supposed to be about,
right,
then goes and watches it on tape. So here we are now. This is his third week of being able to try to put this into motion, and, it looked a lot better today.
I thought it did. Yeah, very sharp and crisp. And overall, I thought the offense was doing a better job getting those completions getting some separation. Now, there were some defensive players who I thought were on point with what they did in coverage, but it seemed today that the defenders were getting a little frustrated, and they seem to talk more when they're not winning those battles as they had been more consistently through the offseason. I'm talking about mostly the one-on-one coverages and such that where you can glean any level of competition. There was a moment, though, when I think Brian Hoyer was at quarterback and everybody was covered and Brian wasn't going to throw the football, and that started the hooting from the defensive side of the ball, and then there was a holding penalty.
They had a flag.
A flag came
might
out.
Have even had, might have even had a legal receiver downfield.
And that
too,
might have happened. Yeah, there were little of those things going on. NFL officials, by the way, working some of the young in-training officials and others who will be working games were on hand, have been on hand through these workouts. So this is a training session for them, and the league dispatches these crews to the various practices, the OTAs, and then in this case, the mini camps that are going on. And I think even though this was the last day, and it'll be interesting to hear what Mike Pettine has to say about the attitude and the approach, I think he'd be happy with what he saw, as you were saying and I was saying, in terms of its tempo, its crispness, being the last workout before you're kind of let out of school, right?
Yeah,
that last day of school is usually the one where almost nothing gets done in the way of work. Everyone's concentration is lacking. Everyone's mind is elsewhere. But I thought today, for the most part, these players had a sense of engagement, had a sense of purpose in what they did.
No, there's no question about that. And remember going back to asking Mike Pettine, what are we going to see that is going to put a Mike Pettine stamp on your system at these various rookie camp, OTAs, mini camp? And remember Vicky said, we're going to do everything with a tempo and we're going to do everything with a pace that somewhat resembles the way we're going to do it when we start to prepare for the season, because he wanted to get that foundation ingrained early on, and I really believe that for the most part he accomplished it. And again, now this is at times, yes, did position coaches stop things and educate, so to speak, a little bit, Vic, after a particular play that maybe they weren't happy with their personnel group? Yeah, that happened a lot. But you'd expect that. I mean, that's going to be something because, again, now this, for a lot of these guys, you know, coming in from, whether it's coming in from different systems or it doesn't matter, guys that have been Cleveland Browns, you know, Vic, I think we can say that this system is going to look a lot different. And I think our fans, the fans are going to be able to see exactly how Mike Pettine and his coaching staff put it in, want to go about it, and, as you said, how crisp it's going to look to them when training camp begins. And that's important to get that established right now.
The Mike Pettine press conference is underway. We're going to carry it in its entirety shortly in our next segment here. We're rolling on that now. Jason Gibbs, our producer, is down there. We're up in the studio here in Berea in the Dog Bowl. But looking at some tweets from the press conference, what is kind of happening in real time, Mary Kay Cabot tweeting that Mike Pettine is talking about when the depth chart, and there's no surprise here, when the depth chart is set for camp, Brian Hoyer goes in as the number one quarterback. I think we fully expected that.
Sure.
He did reference that Hoyer is ahead in terms of the quarterback battle, but, and this is the quote from Pettine according to Mary Kay Cabot, I don't think it's insurmountable for Johnny Manziel. And I would agree with that. I think as each day goes by, not only on the field for Manziel, as we saw like a day like today where he looks to make progress, but each day that he is studying tape, that he is into the playbook, that he is watching himself and getting that critical feedback from Dow Loggins, from Kyle Shanahan, from anyone who has opinions about, even teammates, Hoyer, others who will share perspective, receivers will say some things to him, Nate Burleson, others. All that feedback, as he puts that all together, aggregates that, that's going to show up on the field, I think, in a positive way. I think Johnny Manziel will come into camp determined, even though that's a long way away, 6 weeks, determined to show what he's all about. And that, he'll know that the stage, the lights are going to be, so to speak, brighter because you're now having big crowds that will be showing up here in Berea. It'll be record numbers of turnout. People will be turned away from these practices, and primarily because that guy is playing quarterback.
There's no doubt about that. And I thought what, and we're going to hear, and again, as you alluded to, Mary Kay Cabot from the Plain Dealers tweet, that it's not an insurmountable margin to overcome for Johnny Manziel as we speak of whether or not he can grab that starting quarterback spot away from Brian Hoyer. Vic, I think it begs the question then, these 6 weeks down, how important could they be? Now, this is going to have to be Manziel pretty much on his own. We don't know if he gets together with George Whitfield, his quarterback guru, in this period of time.
Well, actually, can I insert something
here?
Sure,
go ahead.
George Whitfield has been hired as an intern by the 49ers. He's going to spend his training camp
working with
Colin Kaepernick.
So I didn't know if that was right now or to be continued.
It's in training camp. Now, I don't know that that precludes him from giving advice.
Right.
I'm sure Manziel can consult with him.
Right.
And I'm sure you can send him video or somehow they can
have – So we'll check on and see if this is to be going forward as well for Whitfield. But my point was, how much ground and how Manziel approaches this in these 6 weeks, whether you want to say on his own or let's put it this way. How does he set up his own regimen and what he's going to do? Might he go back to Texas A&M and work with some of the receivers? How much is he going to throw the football?
Right.
How much is he going to ask those that he will train with to, listen, I want you to replicate as much as possible. Here's what I need to do. So can he make up ground in 6 weeks? Well, this is going to be something that when we see Manziel back, you know, again, you would hope that he is even more comfortable and more familiar. And that is possible in this day and age, even away from this facility for the next 6 weeks, and maybe can take a step forward during that period of time to show that when he does get back here, he's closed the gap a little bit. Again, I throw that out as a question for everybody. No. Is that possible for him to do?
And we'll see. I think it is. I mean, I think it's possible. And I'm not going to try to gauge it possible versus likely, but I think it's possible. I think there is reason to believe his work ethic will take him in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care about crazy pictures from Vegas. I don't think those imply a lack of work ethic.
No, they don't.
You know what? The blow-up swan, it doesn't – that to me, the inflatable swan –
it implies he's 21 years old and he's having a good time.
It's going to be the great attachment to the whole Manziel saga as we talk about it here. And years from now, we'll have fun with that. But I think more importantly, the football player that will come out of this is going to be one that wants to seriously make his mark as a player. And I see that today was proof to me when you see progress like we saw today, that's the kind of thing that I think is going to gain momentum and
move
Vic,
this real
thing
quick,
forward.
Look at it this way, too. Now he's had 3 weeks. Now he knows what Brian Hoyer is all about.
Sure.
He's seen him and been with him for 10 to 12 hours a day. And so now he knows the edge that Brian Hoyer brings to the party, how Brian Hoyer says, so I think that should also be a part of what drives Johnny Manziel, because now, first of all, it says Brian Hoyer, he didn't know him. Now he does, and now he sees how Hoyer goes about it.
He sees a professional quarterback.
That's right.
Brian Hoyer is showing him, what Hoyer is all about. He's also showing him some of what Tom Brady showed Hoyer.
That's right.
I'm not trying to confuse the two here, but I'm talking about work ethic, approach, style, the way he carries himself. Hoyer glued himself to Tom Brady
in the time
they spent together, 4 years, whatever it was, in 3-plus years in New England. And that's reflective in how Hoyer has carried himself since. That is a big part of what Johnny Manziel is seeing. We're going to do fact or fiction at 2:30. That's something else for you to look forward to. Michael and I answering about 5 questions and telling you whether we believe or disbelieve those points that we're going to get. Our producer today, Matt Fontana, will take us through those. I wrote a piece for ClevelandBrowns.com that I urge you to check out under the heading that Cleveland Browns should feel good about themselves as they exit offseason workouts. And through the show, I want to share some of the observations that I have in that piece and that I want to share on the air. And a big picture thought that I want to put out there right now before we go into hearing from Mike Pettine in a little bit is this, Jim. Is this Michael, I should say.
No problem.
Call you Jim.
We're interchangeable, guys. That's okay.
Because Donovan was sitting in that seat
a couple of days ago.
Sure, that's a good excuse. I'm saying that the Browns are in a better place, a much better place now than they were at the end of last year. I don't think that's an overstatement, and here's why. Better talent across the board. Better depth. I think the systems that this coaching staff has installed, is installing, are going to work well, not only for the players who have been handpicked, selected by the particular group that knows the fits are there, but also by the incumbents. I think you can see this. You can see in Jabal Sheard how well he's taken to the way this defense operates. Craig Robertson, just to name a couple on the defensive side, to how the system works and how their talents seem to be showing up in these offseason workouts. Mitchell Schwartz on the offensive side, the outside zone blocking scheme, very much in line with his talent, his quickness of foot and the ability, the athleticism, the nimbleness that he has for a big guy. Yeah, I know there are big question marks. The biggest, of course, being Josh Gordon. That has been a cloud that has hovered over this team and over this building for the whole offseason, or since the second day of the draft when word got out. It's actually been hovering longer than that, but that's when the rest of us found out about it. And the quarterback situation, and as we've been gleaning from the head coach, that you've got Hoyer as the number one on the depth chart going in, not an insurmountable distance between him and Johnny Manziel. That tells me right now that there is no clear-cut decision or sense of who the quarterback is. That's a big question mark.
It is.
That's an uncomfortable thing to have when you're trying to lay out how this team is going to look, when you can't sit here in June, on June 12th, and say you know for sure who the quarterback's going to be. And all that said, the improvements that I see on defense, the existence now of a running game, and it might even be a really good one, tells me that it's not crazy to think of this team improving to the level of a 500 type of team, which I think others who are watching this team from around the country are coming to that conclusion as well.
When you look at an organization, a program that has been and is where the Browns are, can you build? Obviously, you're going to have your bellwethers, the guys that you hope lead you out of the wilderness, so to speak. But, Vic, whether you talk to Jim Harbaugh at San Francisco, Pete Carroll at Seattle, Mike McCarthy at Green Bay, John Harbaugh at Baltimore, the successful organizations and those general managers like Ray Farmer, they'll tell you, we've got to be able to build quality depth as well. We've got to get our roster representative of one that can be a playoff team. And Vic, that's what I see. And that's why I'm looking, and you know, you and I talk about it when we're down there. You look at some of the second and third year guys, and the guys like, I watched Leon McFadden closely today. Now, Leon, again, last year, pretty much non-existent.
It was a lost year.
Nondescript, non-existent. There's just one example, and there are many, many others, but can a young man like him be a factor on special teams and then get in the rotation where coaches trust him and have the belief in him? You're a third-round pick. Get on the football field and make a contribution. He's just one example. There are many, many, many others. But these are the kind of guys, Vic, that is when, I think, when you really start to round out your 53 and you got guys that can contribute more than just on special teams, now we're talking about something. And I see that here. And I see that taking hold. And it has to. It has to get this team out of the wilderness.
All right. We're going to hear from the head coach of the Browns, Mike Pettine. He had his post-practice news conference today after the third and final workout of the mandatory minicamp here. And that's it from the football side until training camp, till late July. But we're going to hear what the head coach has to say next on this Football Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.